Are you in a real estate business and find yourself bogged down with tasks that keep you from focusing on what truly matters, like closing deals and growing your business? Well, we have the perfect solution for you. Meet REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants. These are not just any virtual assistants. They are professionally trained, monitored, and managed to get the job done, allowing you to accelerate your business to new heights. Imagine having a dedicated assistant taking care of the things you either don't want to or don't have the time to do. Sounds like a dream, right? Here's what they can do for you. 1, call or text prospects. Yes, they will do the prospecting for you, be it cold calling or texting, saving you a ton of time. 2, gauge prospects for interest. They will contact and vet your entire list, identifying the prospects most likely to convert into customers. 3, provide detailed lead information for follow-up. Once they've pinpointed likely customers, you get notified in real time, allowing you to follow up immediately and close more deals. That's not all. These virtual assistants are real estate specialists with experience spanning real estate investors, property management companies, brokers, agents, and service providers. They are driven by core values of integrity, preparedness, stellar customer service, and a dedication to growth and learning daily. So why wait? Let the REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants be the backbone of your business, helping you scale and grow with meticulous attention to detail. Remember, with REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants, you're not just hiring help. You're building a culture rooted in mission and goal setting, a culture that stands tall on professionalism and a strong focus on customer service. REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants, your partner in achieving your business needs and goals. To get started with REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants today, visit moneyisfunnyshow.com/VA. That's moneyisfunnyshow.com/VA. It's time to take the leap towards a more prosperous business. REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants.
Are you a real estate investor looking for that perfect financial partner to fuel your property ventures? Or perhaps you're a lender eager to dive into a lucrative investment opportunity? Well, I have some exciting news for you. Introducing the United States Real Estate Investor Lending Program, the dynamic platform that bridges the gap between real estate investors and a network of private and hard money lenders, creating a win-win for everyone involved. Here's what you can look forward to. For investors, 1, capital fuel. Get essential funding you need to make your property ventures a roaring success. 2, financial partnership. Forge vital business relationships and step up your financial freedom game. For lenders, 1, diversified investment portfolio. Lending to real estate investors not only diversifies your investment portfolio, but also potentially increases your overall returns while reducing risk. 2, attractive returns. Enjoy higher interest rates compared to traditional lending options, giving you the potential for significant returns on your investment. 3, access to qualified borrowers. Save time and effort in finding and vetting real estate investors. The platform connects you with a network of dedicated and experienced investors, increasing the likelihood of successful ventures. So, whether you're looking to request a deal funding or offer funding solutions as a lending partner, the United States Real Estate Investor Lending Program is your gateway to the world of opportunity and rewards delivered right to your email inbox. Ready to embark on a more prosperous real estate investing journey? Get started now. Visit moneyisfunnyshow.com/lending. That is moneyisfunnyshow.com/lending. Take your first step to a bigger bottom line with United States Real Estate Investor Lending. That is United States Real Estate Investor Lending.
Universe Media Network. 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 Network.
Welcome to Money is Funny, where we have a relaxed and important conversation about money, life, and how we can make the best decisions of both. I'm Michael Anthony with my faithful co-host, Armando.
Armand Kroon, baby, with the financial effect.
Yes, sir. And today's topic is talking business partnerships, working together as co-workers. Can we cohabitate? Wow, can we cohabitate together? The cohesiveness. And the top, and this will show you that money is definitely funny. Armando, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm, to be honest with you, you know, our co-workerness is day to day sometimes. So I'll be really interested to see how Nathan is doing with his co-worker, because, you know, I'd be ready to kill you some days. But, you know, it's all good. Yeah. I love you.
I know how you feel about the subject. This is part two. This is kind of part two on the same topic. So, you know, we're going to go ahead and squeeze some more of that fruitful juice out of this lemon. You know what I'm saying?
The black and the berry, baby.
Man, I got to be honest with you. Armand, I don't know if you've never done it. Yo, my man asked me to do the carnivore challenge with him. We're doing the carnivore diet. You ever done it? You ever heard of it? I know. You know how I feel about meat. I know how you feel about meat. And that's all there is. And then there's no sugar either. You can't have any sugar. And I was like, yo, I just had a hot, you know, I'm just had, you know, just a hot meal. And then I looked at my gum. I can't even chew gum. I've never, my whole years of living on earth, I've never gone a day without sugar. You didn't ask me how I'm doing, and I'm kind of upset about that. I wanted to vent and tell you how upset I am without any sugar. I ain't had any sugar.
I kind of heard.
That's how us. You look like candy to me right now.
I look like candy. Look, milk chocolate. I actually heard Jordan Peterson, who wrote the 12 Rules. I forget what the 12 Rules is, but Jordan Peterson was talking about how all he does is eat meat and that diet and how he hated it. But yeah, that's like the first time I even heard of it. And that actually sounds miserable. You know, that sounds miserable to me. I'm sure it sounds great to other people, just sitting there eating meat all day. But
with all you think, all I could do is eat bacon, but you're like, yo, after bacon twice, you're like, yo, where's the avocado? Can I get a green bean? Can I get a asparagus? Can I get a Pop Tart? Can I get some variety in my life? This is just boring.
So you are doing the meat challenge?
I'm going to do it with him, man. He asked me to do it. I'm like, yo, he's like, do it with me as long as you can. I'm like, 2 hours.
Sounds to me like you need to be able to tell your friends no more often, because I'll be like, yo,
the power of no is always good.
Yeah, I would tell you no, because there is no, there's not enough ways to spruce up chicken. Yeah. I'm gonna make it Asian style with a little soy sauce and put some hoisin. I'm gonna get in some hoisin.
Grill it.
Like, there's only so many ways, and then I'm done.
Bubba gump it. After a while, you're like, yo, I'm done, son. I'm definitely done.
And the funny thing is, you know, one person said this. The only reason why we like meat is because we usually season it with vegetables and herbs and stuff.
Amen.
So, listen. Amen. You wouldn't even really like it. So
because for me to work, you have to have partnerships. You see how I just did that?
You have to have
partnerships. And you have to – these green beans, and these are the co-workers of the meat, son.
I like the way you did that. I'm going to have to disagree with you on that with my plant-based diet and go with it, but you know,
look, you're not having just one plant, you're having multiple plants.
Oh, you daggone right. I don't say it needs broccoli. Yeah, they got to coexist with other things on my plate, other seasonings and things of that nature. So
it's a partnership. Speaking of partnerships, I'm sure our guest has plenty of things to talk about as far as partnership, let alone I want to know what his diet is too.
Absolutely. So we got Nathan coming up. He grew up in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia, but currently lives in Salt Lake City, Utah, where he runs his business. After graduating from high school, Nathan went on a 2-year mission for his church. After his mission, he went to college at BYU, where he met his business partner, Corey. Nathan worked in door-to-door sales until he decided to get into real estate after graduating college. He had no prior experience in real estate, but decided to learn by trial and error. 4 years now, he is now a co-owner of Offer on Homes, his real estate investing company, and Investor Thrive, a company dedicated to helping people succeed not only in real estate, but in personal lives as well. And without further ado, let me make him big, Mike small. Oh! Hey,
real estate Nate. I got a couple questions.
Sexy Nate. I like Sexy Nate. Real Estate Nate, Sexy Nate, whatever you.
Nate the Great. Real Estate Nate, whatever you guys want.
Two quick questions before Armand gets into it.
Let's get it.
Nate, he was reading at like a fifth grade level, right?
He did all right, bro.
See? Okay. Hey, Nate ain't gonna clown me on my show, dog. Yeah,
and two, who has the best? I mean, I know you're from Georgia and you're also in Salt Lake. Out of the two places, who has the best food?
Oh, for sure, Georgia. You know what I'm saying? For sure.
What's the go-to thing to eat in Georgia? Like, what you miss? What you miss? Like,
I know this might be weird, guys, but I miss the Waffle House. They don't have the Waffle House in Utah. They don't have that out here.
You know why? Because they don't have any fighting in Utah. You guys
go to Waffle House. That All-Star Slam, the Grand Slam. That's good stuff. Yeah.
And there's a choke slam that comes with that. There's a choke slam with that. You know, go for the waffles.
Choke slam. Yep.
Come for the waffles. Stay for the knuckle fights.
Nate, when you said Waffle House, all these nostalgic memories just came flooding into my brain. Heck yeah.
That waitress that comes in and cleans the table with that dirty rag, and you're like, that's even dirtier than the table was.
You know you're going to get a good meal. You know you're going to get a good meal.
Yeah, yeah.
When the service is terrible, the food is bomb.
Yeah. I went to school, Nate. You don't know this, but I went to school in New Orleans. After going to school in New Orleans and living there for 4 years, all food pales in comparison.
Oh, gosh.
To that. Some people like to say New York has it on point, but, you know, I live in sunny San Diego. It does not even compare. So I know you're living out here in the Western states with me, and it, you know, it definitely has their perks of reasons why I like them maybe better, but food, just not one of them.
I hear you, man. Yeah. So no, totally get that. And by the way, congratulations on doing the meat diet. You know, that takes a lot of dedication. Good luck. That sounds tough.
I'm 4 hours in. Don't congratulate me yet.
Like he said, lots of dedication.
Check back with me at 7 p.m. See where I'm at.
Yeah, man. I meal prepped last week and I made like 5 chicken breasts that I would eat every day, and I don't ever want to see chicken ever again. And I was eating other stuff with it. So
of course. Yeah, totally.
I would have never thought there would be a diet where someone would be sneaking a green bean.
What you doing with that broccoli? Get out of here with that broccoli.
Yeah, bro, or like a nice juicy apple or something.
Now y'all are trolling me now. Let's get into the subject.
Man, it just trickle off your chin a little bit, the juice.
I hate you.
Right.
I hate you, Amon. So, Nate, quick, you got a business partner. How did you go about picking him as your business partner? Like, tell me the history.
You know, it was really interesting. Right when I was in college, he was my good friend, you know, and after college, you know, I was doing the door to door thing, like I told you guys in my intro, and my buddy, we graduated and he was doing tech sales. Right. And while we were in college, he would do lease options. His dad was wholesaled a lot. He sold a lot of properties. So I was like, man, I'm tired of knocking doors, moving from place to place in the summers, because that's how door to door is. You go every summer to like a new area. So I was like, man, I'm tired of that. But what's the next best thing? You know, for me, in my opinion, I'm a sales guy. What can I do? Real estate. So I basically reached out to him, say, hey, dude, your dad does wholesaling. You did a little bit in college. Like, quit your job and let's go for it. And that's pretty much how it started. So how did I pick my partner? Well, I just picked someone I liked. And I was like, hey, you have some experience. Let's go. Let's do it.
Awesome.
I like the fact that you called him and told him, quit your job.
Yeah, I was like, I know you don't want to do that. Let's go.
That quitting a job gives that type of urgency to really make things work. Because I feel like something Eddie Murphy has said in an interview was talking about, oh, he never had a backup plan. Like, same thing with Trevor Smith, aka Busta Rhymes. He said the same thing. He never had a backup plan. Same thing for Eminem. I'm big into rap.
Yeah. But,
there was just a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of people never had a backup plan because this has to work. And right. Would you feel like that type of urgency of saying, let's quit your job, and you having the gall to tell your buddy to quit his job?
Yo, I got to be real with you guys. I got to shoot you straight. Both our wives had jobs at the time. So.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
I was wondering. It was going to be my next question. I was like, were they married?
We're married. So our wives had jobs. So the security was, I'm a pretty frugal guy. He's pretty frugal. So we knew, like, hey, if it wasn't going to work out, like, we'd be all right. Right. So
Behind every strong friendship is another strong two women.
I know this isn't the topic, but you know, there is a partnership in marriage. So, you know, ain't nothing worse than a man who ain't bringing no money home. Were you getting a little bit of side eye for a while there, like when you were trying to build this up?
Well, the good thing about it was when I was doing door-to-door sales, I made a lot. So I had a lot that was saved. Yeah. So she really didn't give me any problems because money wasn't an issue Does that mean, you know what I'm saying?
So you got into real estate and you was able to build that up pretty quickly.
Right.
Before you ran out of money or whatever the case may be. And so for that dynamic didn't change too much. Didn't come in going broke, mother.
But hey, I will be real. You know, it hasn't always been great, right? It's been ups and downs, roller coasters, deals.
Talk about it.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, the side eye is a real thing, you know, and whether or not she wants to, you know, say that or not, but that's just how people are. You know, it's like, hey, you're doing this, you know, I got to see results, and it's been up and down, but that's entrepreneurship, you know?
And I think real people that actually truly love you hold you accountable to your word.
Yeah.
Because if people didn't really care, they wouldn't even ask about, hey, how's your deal going on? What's going on? I haven't seen any progress. But people that do care, they're like, hey, what's going on? They're going to have some questions for you.
For sure.
And if you're not able to answer those questions, you pretty much didn't make the right decision to go about that.
Yeah.
This is your buddy. This is your buddy from college. Y'all got to have some butt heads. Yeah?
Well, before we get into that, though, I will say this. So, y'all, mm-hmm. I know you guys are butting heads. Mm-hmm. But also with the wife dynamic, because I know when I was an entrepreneur, when you're talking to people outside of entrepreneurship, they don't really understand what it is that you're doing. They mm-hmm. don't understand the numbers. And so you're trying to explain to your individual wives and, you know, they don't really know what money's coming in, what deals are coming, what broke, whatever. You can explain it to them, but it's because they don't live it. But now you have this partner who, yes, you might butt heads with, but there's a whole other dynamic. So tell me, like, who is in charge of what? Who has the gift of this? Who has the gift of that? And how have y'all been able to navigate this so that other people who are thinking of partnering up can maybe do a better job, if you will, if you're going to partner with somebody?
Yeah, man. I mean, I would say I have the gift of being outgoing, gift of gab. I mean, if you met my business partner, he's pretty much the opposite of me. He's very chill. You know, like can't be like I experience highs and lows in my attitude, not my attitude, but like in my feelings and like how I live life. Like I'm very like this, you know, like I'm excited one day and next day I'm like, man, I keep my mindset straight, but I do feel like the ups and downs. Right. But he's like very even keel, like, you know, nothing can sway him. So that's been really helpful for our relationship, is just his attitude of being like, hey, we got to keep going. Even though we're running into hard times, like we just got to stay consistent. Right. So that's like his superpower, is to be, you know, even keel, relaxed, like always being, you know, consistent, right. With his emotions. Me, mine's been outgoing, but also, you know, been up and down. So that's why our partnership has worked well, as the emotions, right. As an entrepreneur, emotions, like some people, if they get sued or if they something crazy happens, they're ready to shut down the business immediately, right? They're like, hey, let's shut it down. But for us, like when things have gone crazy, like we're pretty good at staying, like, you know, consistent, even though things have happened and will continue to happen. That's just how it is. So
okay. Now yeah. How long you guys been working together?
4 years now.
4 years. 4 years. And so what is your main role in the company and what is his main role in the company?
So up until about 8 months ago, he was basically running the operations of the wholesaling real estate business. And I was running the sales team and training and closing deals. So I would do like the sales and he would just make sure everything ran in the background. And then I went off and started Investor Thrive so I could teach people, you know, how to get deals, how to master the sales process to get more deals with less leads. And I've been doing that. So he's taken over the wholesaling business, the real estate business, and I'm doing this over here. But so that's kind of how we split it up and how it's been able to work.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, basically you got y'all's own individual balls. Yeah. And you own your own little court, but you guys got to come together at some point to figure out the vision, growth, mm-hmm. where you guys are trying to go. Have y'all come together and put that together? Like what goals you're trying to obtain, how big you want the company, like
Yeah. So for the wholesaling business, like our goal is to just consistently do multiple deals a month, right? Okay. But for like investor drive, it's get like a certain amount of students. But it is interesting as a partnership, like where we used to work more together, we kind of like do our own thing now, which, you know, at the same time, it's funny that we're talking about partnerships because I've talked about that with someone else today. And they basically partnerships, like sometimes they, I'm not saying I'm dropping my partner on this show. I'm just saying like, sometimes it doesn't make sense, right? Like, you know, I'm starting to do my own thing. He's starting to do his other thing. So it's like, you know, you getting 50-50 of this side and I'm getting 50-50 of that side. Like that doesn't really make sense. So that you also have to have conversations, like tough conversations as partners to kind of figure out like, hey, you know, this isn't working, or like maybe I'm doing a lot more than you are. But that's the great thing about our relationship too, as a partnership, is we can have those tough conversations, those awkward conversations, and come to a conclusion where, you know, there's no hurt feelings.
Is there a certain tact how you go about with those difficult conversations? Like you guys are friends. Do you like, hey, do you talk about it at the house, or do you, you know, be like, hey, we have to have a talk.
That's a good question. The reason why I partnered with my business partner in the first place is because like we are very open and honest in the beginning, like full 100% trust. I know he wouldn't do anything crazy. Like he trusted me. So when we have to talk about some, like we actually had to talk today about our partnership, guys, like to be real, this is crazy, but we talked about it and I just said, hey man, I got to talk to you about something. You got some time? We sat down. We actually have our weekly meeting where we talk about both companies. So we talked about it there, and you know, there was no tempers flaring, no hard feelings. It was just, you know, we needed to, you know, talk a little bit more. And so I think if you can start a partnership with the open and honest communication in the beginning, that's really, really important. You shouldn't begin in a partnership with anyone that you can't be honest. And, you know, there's like tension already when you talk about money or stuff like that.
100%, 100%. Yeah, there's some times where you guys had bump heads and quote unquote have fights or like falling outs a little bit.
Man, to be honest, not really. Like he's like I told you, he's like this, right? And I'm like this. So I know how he is. So when we talk, it doesn't really get heated.
Because you feel him out. You already like, all right, this is how I should go about this. I know he's probably not feeling that just by his mannerisms.
Yeah, and I've never like money. Has not been a problem with us. Like we're not like money hungry or anything. So it's, you know, when we talk about issues, like things like partnerships and splits, it's not like some that he feels like I'm trying to take something from him cause I'm greedy. It's not like that. It's more of, you know, I don't know, just addressing concerns and problems. And like I said, we had one today went well. That's just how it is.
Yeah. It sounds to me like your relationship is much like a lot of my healthy relationships with some of my guy friends, where I will go out of my way not to fight with you. Like I just, if you think this is unfair or whatever, here, like just fine, you know, or you feel like I need to do this to square this away for you, fine. One thing I'm not going to do is fight with you about money or this little square or this, that, the other. Because you're my boy, or you know, we go way back, and you know, I just don't want any animosity. So whatever I need to do, and as a matter of fact, I did that. I tried to do that in one of the partnerships that I had. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, I had a partnership. I joined teams with a guy. He had me sign a contract that said, hey, you know, stay for 5 years. I stayed the 5 years so that we would be cool afterwards. And we still weren't cool afterwards. He still felt like I was disloyal to him because he still wanted the money. So, you know,
it is tough, you know?
Yeah. For me, turned me off to partnerships, but at the same time, it taught me a lot of lessons of kind of like you are teaching other people how to do real estate and sales and things of that nature. If I ever team up with somebody, I want to be more open and honest and try to do what's right with them and just kind of open up the books and say, hey, here it is, you know, this is how much I make. This is how much you make. Do we agree that this is fair?
Yeah. Like, can I, I talked to a guy, I don't know if you guys know his name, Tom Kroll. Have you ever heard of him?
I feel like I have.
So I had a conversation with him. He started the company, I think, Wholesaling Inc. It's like where it's a platform to get a bunch of like coaches on there. But anyway, we had this conversation this morning, right? Cause I'm talking to him. He's in one of my mastermind groups or, you know, and he basically, this is what he told me on the call. He's like, number seven rule of business, number seven is never partner when you can hire. That's what he told me. And this guy's like high level, right? He's like made millions and millions of dollars off of coaching. So he's just giving me this information as we're talking about partnerships right now. He's like, hey, you have a partnership? And he just went, he told me like his opinion, right? So this is someone that's made it. And he explained to me, he's like, hey, look, you know, you're 50-50 with your partner, which I am right now. It's like when you're making 10, 20, 15 million off of your coaching in the future, it's gonna be really hard to give that person half if it's not really involved in the business, right? So he brought up those things, those things that like I'm not really thinking about right now. But he's like, look, man, like he might be your boy, but you're not going to be one to split it 50-50 again if he's not even involved. And right now he's doing the real estate and I'm doing the coaching. So he's not really involved. And that's the conversation we had today. So is that a tough conversation to have? Not really. It's just common sense, man. I'm not going to want to give you half, or you wouldn't want to give me half if I'm not even touching it.
Right.
Right. So I think you just have to realize, look in the future, which I wasn't, guys. Like that's why this conversation is cool right now. And I had earlier, it's like, you know, when you partner with someone, you got to almost understand like, hey, if this, you know, grows to this, like, you know, are we going to feel comfortable doing this? Like we need to be able to have this conversation later, and it probably will still hurt later or be awkward, but
and at the same time, at least, you know, you already had the conversation. So this ain't new. This is new. When you're into a relationship,
and eventually we'll have to tear this Band-Aid off eventually.
Yeah. Right. And I think a lot of people, and the reason why I partnered, guys, is because in the beginning I didn't know what I was doing, and I wanted a sense of like a partnership or security or someone that I could go into battle with where I didn't feel alone. And I think a lot of people do that in the beginning because they're like, hey, maybe I don't know this, but let's do this together. What I see for a lot of people that done business for a long time, they just rip the Band-Aid off and they just do it, right? They've learned enough. So partnerships, I think, are great in the beginning. Just be aware that you have to have
that conversation. You're going to have to talk.
You're going to have to have the talk, and you're going to have open, honest communication. Will I always be in a partnership with my boy? I don't know. And I've even told them, like, hey, if it doesn't make sense, no. I'm not because we're not boys, but that's just how it is. So that's where I'm at, man.
Oh, that is awesome. And this is a great conversation.
You guys will continue to be friends after whatever, if you guys do decide to split ways with the business ship, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. Like, because again, it's not to me, it's not about the money, but it's also like, does it make sense? Like, let's take it back to, you're not involved, right? So if someone came into my business and was like, hey, can I have 50% for not doing anything? Like in the future, like after we do millions, I'd be like, hey, no, I can give you like 10. I can give you, I can pay you out, whatever makes sense. And vice versa. Like, let's say the wholesaling business just skyrocketed. And I was literally just sitting on a beach. Like, I don't want 50% and you're running the whole thing. Right. I don't need 50% for that.
All right. Totally. So Amon had a question that we were speaking about earlier. What is your view right now on the real estate market right now?
What is my view on the real estate market? I mean, it really depends what market you're in. I'm in Salt Lake City. We've done deals nationwide. We still do deals nationwide. I think you just have to get good deals if you're going to sell them to wholesale them, right? You have to, like, you can't, over the last 2 years, you've been able to just kind of sell whatever, right? Like, some, the inventory's been low, so people are just taking right. Their shots. But now investors are, flippers aren't buying crap from wholesalers unless it's a great deal. So right. my thought is, if you're going to keep flipping, which we flip, you got to do a great job, because your product, your home has to stand out from the other properties that are on the market. So you got to do a good job. No more wholesaling and putting something out there and just hoping someone gets it, right? So flipping, you have to do a really good job. You know, goes back to doing a really nice rehab. And then wholesaling, you got to get a really good discount. So
now, take a step back. You use this term wholesale. Not everyone knows what that is. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
He's asking for a friend.
So wholesaling, all it is I connect to a seller. You know, I tell the seller, hey, I'm planning on purchasing your property. And you have the intention either to close on yourself, or you are going to assign your rights in that contract. Once you get the seller to sign for $200,000, you assign your rights to buy the house for $200,000 to an investor for $220,000, and you make the difference. So you're wholesaling your contract and assigning it to another buyer for a fee. And that's what you know, that's what wholesaling is essentially, is just assigning your rights to buy something for a fee. And the reason why you have to get a good deal is, you know, if you get it at a price that's not low enough, no one's going to take the property, right? You're not going to be able to sign it to someone. So you have to get good deals so you can still make big spreads, or, you know, generous spread.
Yeah. And does it help to go in cash typically?
Yeah, for sure. That's what, as wholesalers, that's what we do. We just say, hey, we're going to buy your house all cash, and then get the contract, and then you assign it. So cash is king, right?
I tell you what, in my world where my clients are like trying to buy a home, they're like, man, somebody came in with cash and just got it.
Yeah, cash. I mean, people want the easy, quick close, right? They don't want to wait on contingencies and all that stuff. So,
yeah. So just explain, you know, because someone asked me that question the other day, like, why is cash more attractive? It's because, you know, a lot of times, even if you're using a loan or VA loan, things can fall out of escrow. Right. Things can go wrong with the home inspection, things of that nature. And I'm trying to get my kids across country to the new school, get them set up. I'm trying to buy a new home, and there's contingencies on buying this home. So if I can get someone to come in, buy cash, no problems, I might even take a little bit less just to get out from under it. Or I might be in a situation where I have this home, I've already purchased my other home, and them two mortgages is hitting a little bit difficult. So if you're listening to this and you're wondering, you know, cash, I would say cash is king. That's the reason why, is because it knocks out a lot of the hiccups that may happen.
You nailed it, brother. That's it.
Yeah. Hey, man, I got to deal with it on the other side. On the other side.
Yep.
Explain it to the clients. Yep. So your thought process is, regardless, because, you know, right now the Fed is raising interest rates, which is probably not a bad thing for you, because obviously the housing market is cooling down, because it's not going down super fast, but it's going down. Since you're paying in cash, that doesn't really impact you that much. And so that means there's more deals, maybe better deals, because things are sitting on the market, correct?
Exactly. So the opportunity for wholesalers right now, people that are looking for deals, is probably going to be greater, because people can't just list their home and sell it like that, like they used to. So now people are like, man, you know, I don't know if I want to list this and wait. I'll just take this off the cash offer, right? That's kind of essentially like why people are getting excited as cash buyer, as wholesalers, as like cash buyers right now, is because the opportunities will probably increase. But then, you know, the flip side is now flippers are like, I'm gonna be a little bit more skeptical about what I buy it at. So it helps the people find more deals, but then you got to sell them or assign them to someone else. And the person that's paying you is like, I don't know, hold on. So that's kind of like where we're at right now. I think it will, flippers and people that are flipping the houses will feel a little bit more confident, as, you know, if we see a little bit with more time, but that's kind of what's happening right now.
So one last question before we got to keep it tight on time, but I got to ask the question. So what's your feeling on Zillow getting into the game? How are they competing with you?
Are they back in the game? I thought they dropped out.
I heard they were getting back into the game and possibly trying to control the market.
You know what, man? Bring it on, Zillow.
There was other companies doing it too, right? Coming in with big.
There's enough. I mean, people are always going to want the personal touch, right? They're going to want me to come and, you know, meet with them or talk to them on the phone. You know, there's enough houses to go around. I'm not worried about it.
Okay. Right.
Real Estate Nate, thank you so much for your time. If someone gets some more information from you, how can they get in contact with you?
I got a couple places they can reach me. I got at Nathan Payne Official is my Instagram, at Nathan Payne Official. I have my YouTube channel that I drop a lot of good content on. It's Nathan Payne. If you just search Nathan Payne, or Nathan Payne Investor Thrive, investorthrive.com. You know, I got some free training on there. Go on there. You get some free stuff on how to make money in real estate. And then I have a Facebook group called Wholesaling Real Estate Mastermind. It's, you come in, I teach, you know, I can help you out, learn how to wholesale a little bit. So that's where they can reach me on any of those things, and I'll be there.
Awesome. Any books or anything, any literature anybody can?
You know what, man? I haven't written a book yet. Someone talked to me the other day about writing a book, and he wanted about $18,000 to write it. And I was like, that's a lot, bro. So, I might write a book in the future, but not right now.
You did say yet. So we'll get back to that. Guys, if you enjoyed the show, and you want to hear more information about financial wealth and well-being, please tune in next week, where we'll be talking about, what are we going to be talking about next week, Armand?
Man, we're going to be talking about more business partnerships. So
more business partnerships.
How about I didn't ruin it, guys?
You didn't. Hey, man, cover off the ball. You good.
You can find me at The Real Mike Jones, The Real Mike Jones. And Armand, where can they reach you at, bro?
Man, you can find me at croonfinancial.com, The Financial Effect. You can find me anywhere. Come look for me.
Follow him, and he'll be at Ralph's too. Thanks for listening, and thanks for listening to Money is Funny. Take care and be easy, and watch the dollar.
Music by Stream Beats.
Universe Media Mastering. Your audio more listenable.